Welcome to the Niche Podcast, your weekly rundown of the biotech, clinical research, and life science industries. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, Eli Lilly bets on RIPK1. Charles River spends $875 million on cell and gene therapy. Adjuvant Capital gets who's who in backing. You can now buy at-home COVID-19 testing kits whenever you want. And Abbott does it again for the 389th time. RIPK1 is a protein kinase involved in a variety of cell survival and death pathways. Most notably, it plays critical roles in apoptosis and necroptosis, two kinds of cell death. RIPK1 has been studied with implications for a variety of inflammatory and neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's and ALS. Eli Lilly struck a deal last week with Rigel Pharmaceuticals for the development of their RIPK1 inhibitor, R552. The once-a-day oral therapeutic has shown good safety data in a phase 1 clinical trial of healthy adults. Now, Eli Lilly has paid $125 million upfront in a deal worth up to $960 million in milestone payments for the development of the therapy. R552 will be headed into multiple phase 2 trials in 2021 and 2022, but the specific indications have not been announced yet. It's worth noting that RIPK1 has a bit of a sordid past. The gene itself can cause cell rupture and increased inflammation. It appears to be no different for therapy programs. Sanofi shifted out of a potential RIPK1 inhibitor for safety concerns, and GSK axed an entire developmental program on the gene with little fanfare. As noted last week, GSK is cleaning house and refining focus. Still, it should be noted that just because there is early safety data and potential function does not mean there will be meaningful therapeutic output. However, I'm sure Eli Lilly and Rigel are well aware of this history and have significant reason to pursue R552. Perhaps we'll know more when phase 2 trials are announced later this year. Charles River Laboratories has acquired Cognate Bioservices in an $875 million cash deal. Cognate is a cell and gene therapy contract development and manufacturing organization, CMDO. Cognate has been expanding the CMDO's services and offerings through capital equipment and space acquisition in both the U.S. and EU. With a bumper crop of new ventures in cell and gene therapy popping up, Charles River will likely want to bank on their long-standing relationships with scientists running these companies to develop new CMDO clientele. Indeed, Cognate is projected to run $140 million in revenue this year, with 25% increases projected for the next 5 years. That puts them north of $400 million in revenue by 2025. Given, there will be significant capital investment needed to stay on track, but Charles River certainly has experience integrating these kinds of services into their portfolio. There will certainly be plenty of competition in the CMDO gene cell therapy space, but from my perspective, it seems like there will be sufficient demand to drive the market up, at least in the next couple of years. As long as Charles River invests the effort to capitalize on this deal, they've made a solid acquisition for less than $1 billion. Adjuvant Capital has oversubscribed a $300 million funding round with a list of some of the most fascinating names in investment. There are philanthropists like Bill and Melinda Gates and Doris Duke, financial groups like IFC, and mega pharma companies like Merck and Novartis. What has Adjuvant done to raise this kind of who's who smorgasbord? They're targeting common global low-profit diseases like malaria, Shigella, and TB. Most suffering from these illnesses are in hard-to-treat areas where even low-cost medicine can be difficult to come by. $300 million is a lot of money, but pretty small peanuts in the world of pharma and public health. However, through a global investment portfolio and a focus on the specific needs of these common but poorly funded diseases, my hope is that Adjuvant will help drive critical developments in global health. They may not be the eye-catching gene therapies set to make billions of dollars a year, but funds like this could certainly spur forward therapies that could directly impact billions of people a year. Developing a new product in the biopharma space is incredibly challenging. There are design barriers, capital to raise, and regulatory hurdles. The SCOPE method provides consultative solutions to navigate industry-specific challenges. We've helped companies pivot into new therapeutic spaces, change trajectory through clinical insights, and empowered CEOs with tools to transform their data into stories that raise capital. The SCOPE method will help you develop data-driven, strategic processes. Find out more at thescopemethod.com. The FDA has given the at-home diagnostic test provider, Everlywell, permission to sell COVID-19 testing kits direct to consumers. In May of this year, Everlywell received emergency use authorization, EAU, from the FDA to sell their at-home kits. Limited supplies meant that a reason was required to gain access to testing, for example, a doctor's note or symptoms. Now, the FDA has expanded this EAU to allow any consumer to purchase a COVID-19 diagnostic kit from Everlywell directly. Back in December, we reported on Everlywell's $175 million Series D. These funds will doubtless be used to finance direct-to-consumer sales of COVID-19 testing kits. It's pretty easy to imagine keeping one of these on hand to test yourself if you think you've been exposed. The kits run $109 each. To take the kit, you'll need to swab your nose and mail the sample back to a lab for RT-PCR testing. The kits have a 95% sensitivity and 98% specificity, which is pretty normal for a nasal swab RT-PCR kit. This obviously will depend on an individual successfully gathering a nasal swab sample. As we have addressed on the show, COVID-19 testing is a potentially lucrative but likely short-term gain for testing companies. The goal will be to leverage capital, market share, and brand awareness into sustainable long-term testing solutions for both direct-to-consumer and healthcare partnerships. Everlywell is on track to do just that. Abbott Laboratories has paid a dividend to investors for the 389th consecutive quarter. The company has increased their annual total dividend every year for 49 straight years. With a market cap of around $220 billion and annual revenues of around $40 billion, the 97-year-old company is certainly going strong. In fact, they put up their best numbers in history in 2020 and are currently sitting at $125.44 a share, more than $100 higher than in 2012. It seems likely they'll cross 50 straight years of increased dividends in 2021, an amazing achievement for any company. Thanks for joining me on the Niche Podcast, your weekly summary of the top news in the biotech, clinical trials, and life science industries. You can learn more at thenichepod.com or find us on your favorite podcast app. Like, comment, subscribe, and most of all, share with your friends. If you like what you hear, please rate and review. It really helps us. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson, and I'll see you next week.